My name is Ferhat Amin. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking to Sister Zakia Ali. She lives in America and she has a website, and it's an online resource for Muslimas and mums who want to feel supported and live a life that's less stressful and overwhelming. The goal is to present spiritual and practical advice and to live with more intention, be mindful, and focus on being healthy physically, mentally, and emotionally. So now I invited Zakia on today because, alhamdulillah, me and Zakia have had discussions about the topic of marriage previously, and I just found, alhamdulillah, her experience and the wisdom that she has on this topic would be really beneficial for you guys to hear as well. So, assalamu alaikum, Zakia.
Wa alaikum salam, dear Farah. Thank you so much for your compliment.
How are you? How's your day been so far?
Oh, alhamdulillah, it's definitely been a change since all the homeschooling has occurred and all my kids are back at home. So it's challenging, but alhamdulillah, you know, there's so many things that we are grateful for, and especially just having our good health, you know, you never thank Allah enough for that. So you always look at the good times.
Yeah, you're right. It's I know, because back here in the UK, schools have started, and I think a lot of mums, that it's been quite a relief for them actually that they no longer have to homeschool, but you're still having to do that in the US.
Yeah, well, some of the schools are slowly opening next month, but I think at this point, the first semester at least, which it will be till December, which is going to be doing that. So, you know, I think it's just like you wanted to have this podcast and I had to literally come into the closet.
Okay.
So I don't get any background noises, stuff like that.
Yeah, we've been wanting to do this for a while, isn't it? So alhamdulillah, we've got the chance now. And so really, this season of my podcast, I am concentrating on love, marriage, and relationships. And it's interesting that, you know, previously when we've spoken about, you know, just how the views that us as Muslims, we hold about marriage. And so what I wanted to start off with really was, it's been, mashallah, quite a number of years that you've been married. And would you say that prior to getting married, that how would you describe the expectations that you had of marriage?
Yeah, I mean, alhamdulillah, it's going to be 2 decades now. And I think that even though I was in my 20s, early 20s, I think my brain was maybe like a 17-year-old, because I grew up on the Disney fairy tales. My mom was a romantic, so she would always take me and my sister to watch those princess movies. And not blaming that in any way, but I did think of, you know, my husband's going to come save my day kind of thing. And, you know, being with your husband, it gives you happiness, you know. I think there's a fulfillment in marriage, but it's not just so black and white. And then even though I saw bad marriages around me, I always thought that, you know, my marriage is going to be special. And I never thought about the challenges that you face and what kids bring into the marriage. You know, we don't see that. It's almost like no one tells us this. I think most women go into that mindset. I think it's the same thing with having children. You just don't know what to expect. You go into your marriage, you go into parenthood with notions, and they're so far from the reality of it. I think it was very naive, and I thought my husband would always think of me and want to be with me if he truly loved me. I had such a, I'd say, distorted view of what love is. I didn't think about the nature of a man or try to understand the male psyche and how a man thinks and how he acts. And I just assumed that the way I thought was how my husband was thinking. So I felt guilty about something, or my conscience came up about something. I just expected my husband to feel the same way. And it would be baffling to me when he wouldn't. I just feel like it was such a narrow-minded and limited way of thinking. And it caused a lot of misunderstandings. And I think that's where the arguments really stem from. I felt that I knew.
I didn't understand that.
I felt like, sorry, my watch thought I was asking it a question.
So. Oh, wow. You got one of those high-tech watches.
I always tell my husband that's my jewelry because I like techy stuff. So as I was saying that, you know, I think we sort of know, we think we know how to please our husbands. Like, we think it's about doing things for them. We know that we need to be loyal and faithful, make his favorite meals, you know, raise the kids. But you never realize there's another element of marriage that no one explains to you as a young girl. And there's this there's almost a thin line between babying your husband like his mother mm-hmm. and actually being his partner and spoiling him like a wife. So I had to learn the difference because I think it really impacts the intimacy between a husband and a wife, the way you treat him.
Mm-hmm. I think you really hit the nail on the head with, I'm trying to think, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think there is enough education or even, training, I don't know if training is the word, for prior to getting married, what to expect from marriage, you know, and in an Islamic context, that everyone, what's good is as a community and as families, we want everyone to get married. Everyone knows that, yeah, you have to get married and that's what we do. But sitting down and thinking and, you know, that what is married life going to be like, even, and especially, okay, practically, yeah, we know what things are going to happen, but what you're saying about how we should, like how a man thinks, how a woman thinks, how we should think about our husband, how our husbands should think about us. I wasn't given any of that. You know, we do read hadith and ayah, that's good. But yeah, it's, why do you think that doesn't happen?
I honestly don't know, because I used to wonder about this myself. Like, you know, I guess we think our mother should teach us about it. But I think if your mother herself didn't understand and she never figured it out, because I had an aunt in my life and she was really smart. Like, you could see she knew what a man needs and how to treat him and bring out the best in him. And my mom was the type, she was, alhamdulillah, she was just somebody who didn't like to be controlled, and she would maybe just say things to my dad in a way that would bring out the worst in him. So and I think she blamed him, and then I saw that as they just had like a difficult marriage. But they actually loved each other very much. There was just a lot of miscommunication. So I think to myself, how is she supposed to tell me and teach me if she didn't figure it out herself?
Yes. Yeah. So you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you think about it, like around, I don't see a lot of thriving marriages and women. Yeah, I call them smart women because they know how to, it's like they, there's so many sayings to it and now I can't think of one, but it's like you're almost like running your home behind the scenes in a very gentle way, and you have a lot of power as a woman and as a wife, but you, if you don't use it wisely, you're going to be doing more damage than good in your life and with your family. It should be a beautiful thing, not a manipulative thing, you know.
Yeah, like if you think about it, women, where, you know, as far as role models or even what we're encouraged to become, if you think of the kind of goals and aspirations given to young women, it's the idea of a wife isn't an aspiration, you know, okay, a career and job, education, which are all permitted in Islam. So no, that's fine. But as far as how to be a good wife, what you should do, what qualities you should have, you know, even encouraging those qualities. Like it's funny nowadays, I see, and I see this a lot, that young girls, the mums, and again, I may be wrong, but they're not even as many, they're not teaching their girls how to cook. They'll say, no, you should study because you need to go to university and you have a career. But the idea of teaching home skills, that's less important. So cooking, cleaning, you know, just the basics of taking care of a home, of what a wife would do, that isn't given priority. And again, so you see, it's because, again, becoming a wife ultimately, that isn't seen as something that you need to get some training you need to nurture that.
That's all acts of charity that you do for your family. And you know, if you're going to consider it as, I don't need to do this, I don't need to cook, I don't need to clean, you're going to have a lot of troubles in your marriage, because at the end of the day, men are men and women are women, and we create it differently. And if you're not going to accept that and you want to constantly go against the grain, then you are going to have a lot of marriage problems and maybe you are going to be alone. It's just the reality. And I think we need to stop being told these lies, you know, that you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. There's certain things that, you know, men excel in and women excel in. And women are better nurturers. They're better caretakers of the home. It's without a doubt. Just look at the professions women are in. Majority are teachers, majority are nurses. You get the few exceptions. But at the end of the day, that's our personality. That's how we are created, to be caretakers and nurturers of the home and the children. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you stop fighting that, you find more joy in those acts and you stop taking it like, I'm being oppressed. kind of thing. You know, it's just a mindset again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's interesting that, because when we think about ultimately, like, okay, we as women, we have a choice that, okay, do we, you know, even you could say we have a choice, do we even get married at the end of the day? Okay, some people, like people say it's not obligatory to get married in Islam, you know, it's our choice. Okay, that's fine. But then it does go back to, okay, if as we're not just women, we're Muslim women. And so are we going to take our guidance and what will make give us a happy life? Are we going to take that from our creator who created us, who knows what will suit us best and our role, you know, what role we should have in life, or has given us that role? And the question is, are we going to embrace it wholeheartedly, or are we, like you're saying, are we going to rally against it and think, no, I don't want to, I'm going to do it my way. You know, and if you're going to do it your way, then don't expect to get the tranquility that Allah promises us when we know, when, you know, when you, the ayah and hadith about marriage, it always talks about tranquility and happiness. And it's, you know, the hadith are so beautiful, but it's not just going to come with like, okay, yeah, here's one of them. Surah Rum, that's Surah 30, ayah 21. Among his signs is that he created for you mates from yourselves that you may find tranquility in them, and he placed between you love and mercy. Verily in that are signs for people who give thought. You know, so that's, if we want the tranquility, we have to follow Allah's guidance. It won't come just like by magic.
Yeah, nothing worthwhile is easy, they say.
Yeah. So then what did, so like, how would you, as a wife, do you describe yourself as a traditional wife now?
Yeah, there's this, I guess it's a hashtag, or I don't know what you call it nowadays, but it is, they call it them the trad wives. And there's a very bad connotation to it. And some people actually say, oh, that's, it has prejudice roots. But whatever mm-hmm. the case may be, there doesn't seem to be a better word that other women are using. So there's a few women I follow, and I have to look them under trad wives, because they are considered the go against the grain women who, it's almost like a movement. It's become like, oh, you're different, you know, because now you've chosen to be a homemaker, and you've chosen to say, my husband's not the bad guy. I actually, you know, think he's somebody I respect. It's become something very unpopular. So mm-hmm. I would say, I think as Muslim women, you can be whatever you want. But as long as you've got your other things done, like as long as you are doing your part in raising the children and seeing that your home is thriving, then you can do as much as you want. But then, of course, you have to do it smartly. If, like, for example, I have 6 kids and you, you know, you have less kids, then mm-hmm. we have different, you might have, you know, something else you could take on your plate that I can. I have to understand. We have to adjust. We cannot compare ourselves to another mother or another wife. It's just impossible. So I think mm-hmm. we tend to do that. We make, you know, if we just stop thinking black and white and just look at our situations as individual situations and then take it from there, we'll be just so much happier.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting what you're saying about, so the trad wife, that's like a label amongst non-Muslim women. So that, so what they're saying is that they're rather than, that they're saying that, yeah, we are, rather than the very, you know, nowadays it's, the popular idea is that you have, in a marriage, men and women should be completely equal. They should have equal roles. They can do the same thing. They should share chores and responsibilities. So women, these, you know, non-Muslim women, they're saying what? How are they, what is their view?
Honestly, when I hear it, Farad, it literally sounds like being a Muslim woman. Mm-hmm. It, to me, it has a lot of similarities. And you know, I mean, you can see in everything nowadays, like look at the health industry. So many things that they're promoting now is what the Prophet ﷺ used to do as a sunnah. And mm-hmm. so it's the same thing now. Every time you get these movements, they come up with, we as Muslims already had that, but we just don't take it seriously until somebody makes it in fashion. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing with the trad wife movement. When I see it and I follow it, to me, it's, I'm following it because it's based on the same guidelines that Islam tells us You know, it's very compassionate. And when I listen to that, I actually feel as this is the answer to my problems as a woman. I feel like connected to those women, where I don't feel connected to the new modern age feminist kind of movements. I feel like it doesn't make you feel good. It makes you feel like you're in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And who wants to be like that when you're a mother and a wife? You want support.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel, yeah, that's the best way to explain it.
So yeah, so they're basically embracing and being content with being a wife, taking care of their husband, taking care of the home, taking care of the kids. They love doing that role.
Yeah, and they're not saying, I love cleaning my house.
They're
not being unrealistic. They're saying that, let me not be criticized because I want to be a good wife. I want to stay at home instead of have a career. Don't criticize me. Give me the same rights as you do to a woman who makes a choice to go work outside, or to a woman who wants to have a eat. I don't want to clean and cook and stuff. Why is it this one-sided? When you choose that way, you're called names, like you're oppressed and you're backward and conditional. Why? So they promote, like, let us be who we are and leave us alone in peace. But they get criticized so much. And that always gives me a pause, because I say, why are people trying to stop them if it was so innocent? Their agenda was so innocent, I should say. Then why are they trying to stop these women? Let them be who they want to be. So that to me is like, tells me there's an agenda. They don't want us to look at the other side. They want to keep us in the state of turmoil, and, you know, we deserve this and we deserve that. And it's just, you know, I don't really know what the reason is, but it's sad.
Yeah, that is true. That's very pertinent why not? If this is what, you know, in the liberal society that we're living in today, if they say, what's the word? The rhetoric is that everyone can choose whatever lifestyle they want. But why is it when a woman, like these ladies, when they're choosing that to be stay-at-home mums and take care of the home, they are being criticized? I do remember watching one of them. She's in England, isn't she? And she was saying this again proudly, just saying, I'm a wife, I'm a mum, and that's it. And the thing is, she wasn't even criticizing other women. She's not criticizing other women who go out to work or study and have a career. She doesn't do that. But she was being criticized by the other lady who was on there, saying, you're sending us back to the dark ages, and you're rewinding women's rights. You know, how can you know? And I thought, she's not doing that at all.
Yeah, actually, if it's the same lady we're talking about, she was interviewed on the news, like the news media in UK a lot, and she actually said in one of her posts one day, because I follow her, she was, I'm not gonna go on them anymore, because she says they tell her, we're gonna interview you, and then when they interview her, they twist her words. And she said she's not gonna do that anymore because they're not giving her a fair platform. So she said, we're going to make our own videos and she's going to do her good work. And, you know, she said she doesn't really understand, you know, why they're trying to keep her quiet. So it was pretty sad, you know.
Yeah. So then do you notice maybe you know, like this lady's been criticized for, you know, being a proud stay-at-home mum and, you know, and traditional wife. Do you notice that a bit in the Muslim community as well, though? When we, you know, women who do exactly the same thing as she wants to, they are kind of seen as being a bit either lazy or, I don't know, or criticized for doing that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, sad to say that I've been criticized because I chose to stay at home. I mean, not to say I've never had a career. I've gone to work. I was a teacher. And, you know, even though my kids were in the same school with me, those are the kinds of careers I chose where leaving my kids with somebody else. I was just, you know, maybe I'm a little bit more protective. It doesn't mean I'm right, you know, and someone else is wrong. It just means that's how I raise my kids. I wanted to raise them.
Yeah.
And so, meaning that you can still have a career and have your ideals.
Mm-hmm.
The teaching profession, I never wanted to become a teacher, but I knew that that was something I could have my kids with me. But then, of course, and I know you were one as well.
I was. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. So, but then I found, you know, that was too exhausting. And then, subhanAllah, I mostly did stuff from home. And there's so much you can do from home. And I think I got just so used to it that it came to a point where I couldn't imagine myself in a corporate environment, because just a little bit of being in the teaching environment, I saw the corporate side and it was very cutthroat. And I knew that that's going to change me. I knew that that's going to make me, it's like if you're in that environment, Farhad, you either, in order to exist in that, you're going to have to either change and become that, or you're going to get smushed.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
And I'm sure you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
Especially because you were in that environment. It doesn't matter if it's an Islamic environment, you're working with women. It's actually more cutthroat with women because there's a lot of jealousy and competition in another way. So, you know, men have power struggles, but women have, you know, other struggles. So at the same way, I personally thought, oh, working with all women, working in an Islamic environment would be better. But unfortunately, it also has its issues. So I decided that, you know, for my peace of mind, it's just better to, you know, do things, because I do believe a woman does need to keep her mind busy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep your mind fresh. You have to have hobbies. You have to have goals. You have to have ideals. I'm not saying you just have to be at home and take care of your husband and your kids. I'm saying that that's important. Put that first.
Yeah.
Then do your other things. So now I lost track of your question.
Oh, that's okay. So the criticism then that oh, when yeah. you, yeah.
Okay, I remember now. So nowadays, you know, I look back in the time when maybe when I was growing up, I think my aunts and that was so, you know, they were traditional. But nowadays I feel that I think I'm the only one in my family, or maybe just two of us, that don't have careers. I mean, that don't work outside the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I'm okay with that. But I've been told, you know, that I'm too traditional, I'm oppressed, I've been called names, and that people I cared about, because they just made assumptions about me and that I don't have a brain because I chose to.
Yeah.
When in actual fact, you know, I think what sometimes we forget is that this is so much ibadah. Like, this is a form of worship.
Yes.
This is a reward you're gaining. Why are we forgetting that? It's become so earthly way of thinking. Mm. So, you know, again, I blame, and I don't know if I should, only if it's a feminist that are doing this to us, or is it, you know, just more different kinds of groups that are doing this. And I don't know why they're doing it, because when you break the family life and you basically, because especially the mom, you know, she keeps everything together. She's the glue. And
yes.
The kids will, the future generation, those are the dads and the moms and the workers and the bosses. And it comes from that generation. So if she's not thriving, then everything breaks apart and the society breaks apart. So I don't understand why our roles are taken so as if it's nothing. It's so impactful. Like when I talk about it, I get goosebumps. It's like so profound.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. It's the value of the mother. It cannot, it just cannot be measured. That because when a mother, you know, when a mother is taken out of family, like I know some family friends, I know that two family friends, the mother passed away, and the effect it had, and everyone knows this, the effect it had on the family, it totally, you know, it just crumbled. And you know, the effect on the kids, you know. And so when a mother isn't there, you really see how important and the value of the mother. But I think sometimes because mums are always there, they're then undervalued. But I think for the listeners, I think what we really need to do is we mustn't undervalue our work and the role that Allah's given us and the reward that we'll get. And then within a marriage, you know, then again, the role of the wife is so valuable. You know, it...
Maybe I didn't clarify that enough as well, but just like a mom has an impact on her children, wives have a very big impact on their husbands. And again, they don't know the impact they have. Whether that man goes to work and she's at home, when he comes to a home that is tranquil, it helps him to be stronger at his efforts. It helps him to want to please that family more, to give them more. If a man comes to our home that's full of turmoil and stress, and the woman is stressed and he's stressed, who's going to keep it together? You know, I know there's role reversals, but I've never seen anyone have that successfully. You know, maybe I don't know many. It's a very rare thing. But I can tell you something. If your husband is thriving. It's really you backing him up. Your whole life's going to change. He's going to be able to do more, because that's just how it is.
Believe it or not.
No, that's it. And the thing is that I just think that if one of the main messages of our discussion today, society may not value the role of a wife, but again, Allah does, you know, value that. And it's interesting that Allah tells men and husbands to value the wives. So there's a lovely hadith that I'm sure everyone's heard of before, that the best of you are the best to their families. This is, and the Prophet said, and I am the best to my family. So the Prophet is telling men, be good to your families. And then there's another really lovely one. The most complete of the believers in faith are those with the best character, and the best of you are the best in behavior to their women. So men are told to be good to the women, and women are told, wives are told, you know, husbands be good to your wives and wives be good to your husbands. And I think that if we keep reminding ourselves, reading those hadith and ayah, to kind of lessen the impact of other voices and other influences, that's what will inshallah make our marriages stronger, you know. But we have to work on it. That's the important thing.
It's a work in progress. You never have marriage, just like parenting. I have to tell myself, and I tell many people, it's not like, oh, you're working towards this perfect goal of having a happy marriage and having a perfect parenting experience. It's always going to be a struggle. If you tell yourself that my marriage is going to be work, my parenting life is going to be work, it's a constant effort. And the more I put in, and the greater, the better are my intentions, then you will aim for that, of course, with the pleasure of Allah. So what you put in is what you get out, firstly. And also, just how you take that, like how important you make that. It's like I said, it can make it a joyous thing, or it can make it something that's burdensome. It's really in your hands how you go about it. And it's a mindset. And, you know, alhamdulillah, like when you figure it out, you realize, oh, okay, I'm not supposed to reach a specific goal.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's true. Well, Jazakallah Khair, Zaki, it was lovely speaking to you. And, you know, you have to come on again soon, inshallah.
Yes, inshallah. And definitely, I'd love to hear more about from your side as well, because you've got so much experience with so many things. So we're going to make that happen.
And so just for listeners, if you'd like to, Zaki's got a lot of, you know, really lovely blog posts and information and free books as well on her website. So definitely check that out. Okay. So inshallah, we'll speak again soon, Zakia. Asalaamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Salaam.
This episode is brought to you by farhatameen.com, a website that specializes in Islamic stickers, Muslim activity books, as well as Ramadan and Eid decorations. Wholesale and reseller inquiries are also welcome. So visit farhatameen.com today.